H.A. Ironside said this: on the Lord's Day, a group of missionaries and believers in New Guinea were gathered together to observe the Lord's Supper. After one young man sat down, a missionary recognized that a sudden tremor had passed through the young man's body that indicated he was under great nervous strain. Then, in a moment, all was quiet again. The missionary whispered, "What was that that troubled you?" "Ah," he said, "but the man who just came in killed and ate the body of my father. And now he has come in to remember the Lord with us. At first, I didn't know whether I could endure it. But it is all right now. He is washed in the same precious blood." And so together they had communion. It is a marvelous thing, the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Does the world know anything like this? I want to talk to you a little bit about forgiveness today. There is something amazing and unique about experiencing the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. It affects us like no other influence in life and creates feelings that are truly beyond understanding. When you experience the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, when you realize He has completely washed your sins away, taking away all the guilt, taking away all the mental anguish that comes with sin, you realize that you have been given a great blessing. And when you realize that great blessing, it affects you in a mighty way. It affects the way that you think. It affects the way that you feel. It affects the way you act. And that's what we see here on display as we look at Psalm 32. C.S. Lewis writes, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Everyone, but we have been called to forgive. The Son of God Himself said, 'If you forgive others their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.'" You see, this experience with the forgiveness of the Lord, this experience with His forgiveness, impacts your life so much that it is going to impact how you act towards others, how you relate towards others. And that's what we see here as we relate towards the Lord. We see in this passage of Scripture a psalmist, a songwriter. We know him as King David, the great king of Israel. But I want us to understand that this is a psalm. The book of Psalms paints a picture, and it is a book of songs of praise to the Lord. Carl Truman said, "Only in the Psalms do we have the full range of human emotion that allows you, however desperate you feel, to go in and offer words of praise to God." Now, I love the Psalms for that purpose. When I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling in despair, I can go to the Psalms and I see those very same emotions expressed in song and in word and in chorus, and it helps me in my soul. It helps us. And we relate to King David. And I hope as you've read this passage of Scripture and as we read it this morning, that you can really relate to David and the feelings that he's had and the feelings that you will have as you relate to God. This is written by King David. Like I said, this was a shepherd boy turned king. A shepherd boy turned king. Now, along the way, as we all do, David had sinned. Now, David had sinned greatly. He lusted after Bathsheba and had her husband killed. He had sinned wickedly. And for a time, he had let this sin go unconfessed. He had let this sin rot away his life. And there were serious consequences for it. But he came to a point where he finally said, "Lord, I realize what I've done is a sin against you. Will you please forgive me?" And of course, he experienced afresh and anew that wonderful forgiveness that came from God. And as a result, we see this hymn of praise to the Lord. Now, I see four truths about forgiveness and how those truths affect our lives from this psalm. And I want us to look at this psalm and see that. Let's read the first two verses again. It said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Wow. What a wonderful wonderful proclamation of what happens in the life of someone who trusts in Christ and who accepts that forgiveness of sin into their lives. This hymn is much like the Beatitudes that many of us are familiar with. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the hungry in spirit, for they shall be filled." David begins his psalm by stating, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven." What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to be blessed? The dictionary defines blessed as the following: consecrated, sacred, holy, sanctified, worthy of adoration, reverence, or worship, divinely or supremely favored. I want you to focus your attention on that particular phrase. Blissfully happy or contented. That one as well. To be blessed by God is to find favor in the eyes of the Lord. To be blessed by God is to find favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, this is a wonderful, wonderful experience. To know that when your Creator looks at you, He does not look at you in scorn. He does not look at you in anger. He looks at you in favor. And not because of what you have done, but because He displayed forgiveness in your life. Because He interjected the wonderful forgiveness that was provided by His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we can be blissfully happy and contented. Not because of what we have done, but because of what we have in the Lord. And what we have in the Lord is pretty awesome. Oswald Chambers said this: "We trample the blood of the Son of God if we think we are forgiven because we are sorry for our sins. The only explanation for the forgiveness of God and for the unfathomable depth of His forgetting is the death of Jesus Christ. Our repentance is merely the outcome of our personal realization of the atonement which He has worked out for us. It does not matter who or what we are, there is absolute reinstatement into God by the death of Jesus Christ, and by no other way, not because Jesus Christ pleads, but because He died. It is not earned, but accepted. All the pleading which deliberately refuses to recognize the cross is of no avail. It is battered at a door other than the one that Jesus has opened. Our Lord does not pretend we are all right when we are all wrong. The atonement is a propitiation whereby God, through the death of Jesus, makes an unholy man holy. So when we look at this passage, when we look at, and the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Oftentimes, when I look at passages of Scripture where God blesses, quote, the righteous, I tend to think, well, I'm not righteous. I'm not righteous. Why am I saying that? And why would I say that? It's because I have a wrong value system when it comes to real righteousness. Okay? Real righteousness does not come because of my good works. Okay? Real righteousness does not come because of my good works. It comes because of the work Jesus did for me. Okay? So when you look at these passages where God blesses the righteous or those in whom have no deceit, what does that mean? It means this. You are someone who has accepted the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you're relying on that and that alone for your salvation. So all the promises that we see in God's Word that are geared towards the righteous, that's you if you're trusting in Christ as your Savior. That is you. And so we are blessed. We are blessed because God looks on us with favor and He has forgiven us and we can be blissfully happy because of that. We should rejoice in the forgiveness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is because of that that we have eternal life, that we have all the promises of God, that we are looked upon as favorable in His sight. Of course, that forgiveness did not come without a cost. Jesus did have to die on the cross for our sins. There was a big price to pay so that we could be forgiven, and that we must never forget. This weekend is Memorial Weekend, where we remember those who paid the price for our freedom. Let's not forget the price that Jesus paid so that we could be freed from our sins and have eternal life. We should be wonderfully, amazingly, excitingly, delightfully happy that we have been blessed by God in this way. I hope we all today will walk out of this place knowing that our sins are forgiven and be able to rejoice in that fact. We have received the righteousness of Christ. Then there's another thing I want you to understand. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. It says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into drought of summer. The second thing I want you to understand about forgiveness and about your relationship with the Lord is that if you want to continue to experience that bliss, you must not harbor unconfessed sin in your life or unforsaked sin in your life. You must, when you sin, you must immediately confess it to the Lord and do everything.